Well, good morning, everyone. Many greetings to our friends at Buckskin Evangelical Church. Of course, we were planning and hoping that we might be able to be with you, but that's not possible, as we all know. But wow, it's a year since we last spoke at the church. The year's gone by. A lot's happened in this last year, but we're really pleased to be able to be sharing with you this morning. Now, I am preaching this on the Friday afternoon. I have a little bit of a renter crowd here. The students from our gap year program are smiling at me. Hopefully, they're not going to be shouting out too much stuff, but they're going to be listening along together with folks, obviously, at Buckskin. Now, what are we talking about? I've been asked to continue on or finish the series that Will and Stuart have been leading us through. On this title, Mind Over Matter, and the subtitle, What's on Your Mind Changes Everything That Matters. And of course, Will looked at the spiritual mind, and then I think Stuart looked at the mind as a battlefield. Last week, Will was looking at the mind focused on God. And it's that sentence that they put at the bottom which has caused me to really think and challenge my thinking a little bit in these last days. What is on your mind changes everything that matters. And I've had to really ask, do I believe that? And if I do believe it, what does it really mean for me in my life? So through this study, I hope I'll be able to share with you something of what I've learned. Now, my title is Having the Mind of Christ. And that's what we're going to be looking at, having the mind of Christ. Let me begin by asking you a question. And the question is, you've probably heard the expression, he's a chip off the old block. You know this expression, you know, he plays rugby just like his father. He's a real chip off the old block. Or, oh, I bet she'll soon be running the place because she's a real chip off the old block. You've heard this expression before. There's some blank expressions from the young people here, but I reckon most of you at Buckskin have heard this expression, to be a chip off the old block. What it means is that person thinks a little bit like their mother or father. They seem to act like their mum. They perhaps have the same sense of humour, or they're of the same mind. They have the same mindset. They think the same. They act the same. I wonder if anybody's ever said that of you. You're a real chip off the old block. Well, let me ask you this. How about our relationship with Jesus? Would you say that you are of the same mindset of Jesus? Do you think like Jesus thinks? That is perhaps a strange question. Let me read from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the final verse, verse 16. Paul says this, just at the very end of his chapter, we have the mind of Christ. He's speaking to the Christians in Corinth, and he's saying, we have the mind of Christ. And I've really been digging into thinking about this. Do I really have the mind of Christ? Do you, this morning, would you say, yes, I have the mind of Christ? Paul, as he writes to the Corinthians, he tells us what it means to have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ, he says from verses 5 onwards, to have the mind of Christ, it's very different from having the mindset or the wisdom of man. Then he goes on, that to have the mind of Christ involves wisdom from God, once hidden but now revealed. Then he goes on, the mind of Christ is given to believers through the Spirit of God. Further, he says, the mind of Christ cannot be understood by those who don't have the Spirit. And finally, he says, the mind of Christ gives believers discernment in spiritual matters. And then he says to the Corinthian believers, you have the mind of Christ. So, clearly, Paul says we as believers have the mind of Christ. And my question is, can you say that this morning? Can you say, amen, absolutely, I have the mind of Christ. I think just like Jesus thinks. I don't know. When we think about the incredible truth of Christianity, we know, of course, that Jesus died for us so that he might live in us. We have turned away from sin, we've repented and said, Lord, I don't want to go my way, I want to go your way. We've accepted Jesus as Lord and Saviour, we've surrendered our lives to him, and then we are united with him. His Holy Spirit comes and dwells within us, and we have been given the mind of Christ. That's what the Bible teaches us. But so many of us, as followers of Jesus, seem to miss this. We miss the reality of what that really means, that Jesus died and gave his life for us. He gave his life so that as he rises again, he might rise again in us. He might live within us. And oftentimes, perhaps as Christians, we believe, we attend church, but do we really understand and grasp the reality of the gospel, the reality of this truth, that Jesus Christ lives in us by the power of the Holy Spirit? We're not just part of a religion just to go along to church on a Sunday morning and then finally to be taken to heaven to spend eternity with God. We, if we are following Jesus, are indwelt by the Holy Spirit to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. That's what Will spoke about last week from Romans 12:2. After salvation, after we receive Jesus, it is true, we have the mind of Christ. We live a life under God's influence. So we could say that having the mind of Christ means, well, being a chip off the old block, having the same mindset, thinking in the same way. We look at life from the Saviour's point of view. We have his values, his desires. To have the mind of Christ means to think God's thoughts and not think as the world thinks. When I left university and came on a discipleship training program with a mission agency, I remember we were asked to memorize Philippians chapter 2. I challenged the young people to be in our training program to be memorizing scripture. And we were asked to memorize the whole of Philippians chapter 2. And that stuck with me for these last 26, 27 years, maybe not absolutely perfectly. But part of Philippians 2 says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. And then it goes on to speak about Jesus' humility. And I've always taken that, well, my attitude should be like that of Jesus who humbled himself. I need to be humble. As I've been studying in the last days, actually, the NIV isn't so great in the translation of saying your attitude should be that of, because literally the words are, let this mind be in you that is also in Christ Jesus. Have the same mindset as Christ. Have the mind of Christ and follow his example. Have his perspective on life. Follow his example of humility and love and compassion and complete dependence on God. And so I've been digging into what it really means to have the mind of Christ, and, well, I've just shared a few thoughts with you. I've been really excited in the last days learning more about this, but here's the thing. I hope that those of you who are watching kind of wake each other up and there's a big question that remains. You see, the question is this. If when I received Jesus, I received the Holy Spirit, and now I have the mind of Christ, that sounds very good, and perhaps I should, as a good Christian, say amen. Matthew, I believe all of that. But if it's true, then why don't I always feel super spiritual? If I have the mind of Christ, why don't I just float around in a super spiritual state saying hallelujah and singing worship songs to everyone and never getting upset with anyone? Why, if I have the mind of Christ, do I still sin? Why do I still give in to temptation? Why do I still think about sin? If I have the mind of Christ and I'm truly spiritually minded, why am I finding it so difficult to concentrate on this sermon? Again, wake each other up. Why am I not more victorious in the Christian life if I truly have the mind of Christ? Wow, do I have the mind of Christ? If some wires could be attached to my brain and all my thoughts could be uploaded onto a big screen and everyone could see everything that's on that big screen, would they look at that and say, wow, Matthew really has the mind of Christ? I'm not sure they would. And so, as I understand what it means to have the mind of Christ, and we should all have the mind of Christ if we're following Jesus, I have to ask myself, well, am I a true follower of Christ? Am I really a Christian? Because my mind doesn't always seem to be pure and thinking exactly as Jesus thinks. Well, let's think about this. You see, the title of the series I mentioned at the beginning, it says, what's on your mind changes everything that matters. What's on your mind changes everything that matters. And so I've had to think in these last days, what do I fill my mind with? We've all heard the expression, you are what you eat. What we fill our lives with, physically, our bodies with, that's what we become. If we want to be fit and healthy, then we need to eat healthy food and lead a healthy lifestyle. But what about our minds? Not just our physical bodies, our minds. Can we also say we are what we think about? What's on your mind changes everything that matters. Proverbs 23 verse 7 says, as a person thinks in his heart, so he is. As she thinks in her heart, so she is. What we think about molds who forms who we are. And that's quite a thought. So whilst I wrongly questioned a little bit in my mind what Will and Stuart sent me, what's on your mind changes everything that matters. Actually, I fully believe that. That's exactly what the Bible teaches. It really matters what is on our mind, and what is on our mind does change how we think and how we act and how we live our lives. It really, really matters what is on our mind. Psalm 115. So listen to this. Our God is in heaven. He does whatever pleases him. We agree with that. Yes, God is in heaven. He does whatever pleases him. And then we go on a little further. But their idols, the idols of the people on the earth, are silver and gold made by human hands. Okay. They have mouths, but they cannot speak. Eyes, but they cannot see. Okay, we get that. This is the idols of the people on the earth. They have ears, but they cannot hear. Noses, but they cannot smell. Okay, they have hands, but they cannot feel. Feet, but they cannot walk. Nor can they utter a sound with their throats. These are the idols. People are worshipping these idols, and they're worthless. And then we read, those who make them will be like them, and so will all who trust in them. And that is a scary thought. Those who make them, those who worship them, those who fill their lives with these things will become like them. Worthless. The truth is, we become like what we worship. We become like what we think about. So if we spend our lives in the presence of God, worshipping his Son, speaking to him, bringing concerns and dreams and prayer requests and everything to him, if we nurture a really, really close relationship with God through his Son Jesus, then we will know him more. We will be more of the same mind. We will allow him by his Spirit to transform us, to renew us, to turn us into the people he wants us to be. That's if we spend time with God and allow him to work in us. But if we fill our minds only with the latest TV series and films and movies and sports and funny clips on YouTube and inappropriate content on the internet, we will start to think in the way that we consume these things, the way that we see portrayed in these things. We will become like what we worship. We will be brainwashed into accepting the morality and the mindset, the thinking of the world. So, if I don't feel that I really have the mind of Christ, if I don't really feel that I'm of the same mindset, then I have to ask the question, who am I worshipping, or what am I worshipping? What am I consuming? What am I filling my mind with and my life with? And I think the warning that we have here is that we become like the idols we worship. Our idols influence our thinking and our morality and our values. If I eat cheeseburgers, breakfast, lunch and dinner every day, nothing but cheeseburgers, always cheeseburgers, I don't know how long it would take before I start to look like a cheeseburger. It wouldn't be pretty. Now, if I spend lots of time consuming social media, all of my time consuming social media and getting engaged in celebrity gossip and following YouTube, Instagram, TikTok influencers, and that's my life, and that's what I consume, and that's what I fill myself with, well, I'll be influenced by them. That's the trick when they say they're influencers, they influence people. If I fill my mind with these things, my mind will be so full that I will start to have the same mindset. I'll start to think like them. That cheeseburger example. You know, I could eat a cheeseburger, breakfast, lunch, dinner, for weeks, months, and perhaps I could occasionally eat a carrot and say that's good. I occasionally have a piece of lettuce. Oh, I tell you what, on a Sunday morning, I'd have a little piece of broccoli. That'll keep me going. That'll help me to be healthy. Well, of course it won't if I'm completely consuming only cheeseburgers for the rest of my life. And just the occasional little bit of broccoli isn't going to help much. So what am I, what are you consuming in large quantities? What is filling your mind? What we consume is what fills our mind, and what fills our mind will change how we think, and how we think will change how we act. So we come back to that statement, what is on our minds changes everything that matters. I hope you're still with me. Let's get a little bit practical here, because it could be a bit scary when we really take to heart what we're looking at here. How can we have more of the mind of Christ? We've talked a little bit about what it means theologically to have the mind of Christ. Those who follow Jesus do have the mind of Christ. We've talked about the dangers of consuming in other places, worshipping other idols, if you like. But the question remains, then, how can we have more of the mind of Christ? How can we become more of the same mindset? How can we truly be a chip off the old block, if we want to word it like that? Is there anything we can do? And you could say, well, no, not really, because it's not our work, it's God's work. It's God's grace that saves us. It's God who sanctifies us. It's God who transforms us. It's all God's work, not our work. And then we could say, well, there's nothing I can do. And I think we need to realize, of course, it is God's work to transform us. But we do have a responsibility to invite him, to welcome him. If you like, to permit him and say, Lord, I don't want to live for myself, but I ask you to work in me. God doesn't force himself on us. He hasn't created us as robots to do exactly everything that he says all the time. He's given us a free will, an opportunity to choose to love him or reject him. And we can choose to love him and welcome him and invite him and give him space in our lives, or we can push him out, not give him any space to work and to form in us the people he wants to form in us. one way of permitting or inviting God to work in us and renew our minds is through Bible reading. I wonder how you're doing with reading the Bible. I think of, and the students here have heard, in fact in Buckskin you've heard me share testimony probably a few times of first meeting Helen in university all those years ago, and seeing how Helen was reading her Bible, and me being attracted to her, but also something different about her. And so I got hold of my Bible and I started reading. September 91, that's a few years ago. Helen, we're getting old. We just celebrated 25 years just last week or the other week. 25 years married. But for 29 years, so I met Helen, started reading my Bible, wanting to impress her. And for 29 years, every day I have read my Bible. Occasionally, I've missed a few days along the way. But I think in those 29 years, I've read through from Genesis to Revelation 28 times. There was one year that when it was a bit different, and I kind of free-ranged in the Bible, and it wasn't great. And I've gone back to my tried and tested reading through the Bible in a year. And I don't say this in any way to boast, but I know how important Bible reading has become for me. I couldn't walk with the Lord. I couldn't be involved in the ministry I'm involved in if I wasn't in the Word every single morning. Because it's a time when I am with Him, listening. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes I'm tired. Sometimes it just seems like it goes in one ear, out the other, or whatever. But it's a time when I'm saying, Lord, You are God and I'm not. You're in control. Speak to me, Lord. And so often, there are wonderful times where the Lord is speaking. We need to be in the Word every day. And I do have a little problem when people get the Bible on their phones, and some of the students are looking at me now because they're you've got some of your Bibles with you. But of course, we have the Bible on our phones and on our devices these days. But I don't think there's anything like really having a proper, real Bible. Because the problem that I have when I look at the Bible on my phone, one little beep and suddenly someone sent me a message, there's an email, it's too easy to be distracted. And so I like to turn my phone off and just to be in a real Bible, but that's not, that everyone is a little bit different on that perhaps. So this morning, I'm trying to prepare this message, and the one thing I could think of, I'm thinking about the royal family. And I've watched last night The Crown, and some of you are now thinking about that Netflix. Well, you know, what are you up to? Where have you got to in this exciting series? That's what I watched last night, and I found that's what is consuming my thinking. And I'm sorry if you're now thinking about it and wondering what episode you're on. Let's just put it aside. I'm not saying that it's wrong to watch The Crown or to watch a TV series, but of course we need to find balance. I think it can be dangerous when we binge watch. We fill our minds, we get so engrossed and involved in something, we can't think of anything else. I wonder, when was the last time you binge read the Bible? You had a couple of hours and you just thought, I'm going to get into God's Word, and wow, you couldn't put it down. That would be good, wouldn't it? I have a friend locally here who speaks about the challenges in the evening, just sitting down watching TV. He said he started to put his Bible open in front of the TV. And before he and his wife just sit down and chill out and watch something, they always read a chapter from Scripture. They're reading through the whole Bible, chapter from Scripture, before just sitting down and flopping and watching something on TV. That's something that I think I'd love to try and implement. Making sure that I'm filling my mind with Scripture and not just with all the other stuff that's around. Yeah, we have beautiful, beautiful verses in the Bible that speak. Psalm 1:1, blessed is the man or the one who meditates on the law of God day and night and finds delight in it. You're blessed if you meditate on the Word of God. And then Psalm 119, the longest psalm, but I just love verses 9 to 16. I'm going to read it all. It'll come up on the screen. Follow along. Listen to this. Listen to the beauty of this. Ask yourself, does this describe me? Listen, how can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. I will not neglect your word because I know how central and important it is for me in my life. The more we meditate on the word of God, the more our minds will be conformed to the thinking of our Lord Jesus Christ. And our thoughts will be conformed to his thoughts. And the more we begin to live according to the life that he's designed us to live, well, his life will become our life, and his mind will become our mind, and his heart will become our heart, and his desires will become our desires, and his love will become our love. This is what it means to be united with Jesus. We're invited to live in this truth today. This is the wonderful truth of the gospel. The abundant life that Jesus talks about in John 10:10. He wants us to experience this life, living with him, living in his word, allowing his word to fill our minds. Spending more time then in scripture, daily Bible reading. One other thing that we've certainly learned and continue to learn in our lives is the importance of fasting. I wonder if you're involved in regularly fasting, and what does that mean for you? Certainly when we first joined OM, every Thursday morning was a day of prayer and fast, or once a month was prayer and fasting. Every Thursday was prayer. And so we got into this routine of monthly fasting. And then we went to Moldova, and for 20 years we just introduced this for the team. Every month we fast. We set time aside to miss a few meals and say to God, Lord, you are more important than anything. You're more important even than food. I just want to spend time with you. And we introduced that in the team here in OM in the UK. It's not us trying to earn religious brownie points, trying to impress God and trying to be more spiritual. But it's saying, Lord, I need you and I want you more than anything else. So fasting is something, and I tell you what, I'm not always great at this, because it's one thing to fast and miss a few meals, but it's another thing to really fast and perhaps not fill my mind with entertainment and all sorts of other things. And I think just in the last days, we were fasting Wednesday and Thursday as our regular monthly fast, and on Wednesday evening, wow, we just had a power cut. But anyway, I'm back with you. I don't know what that means. Maybe the Lord's speaking. It's time for me to stop. I'm getting to the end. Wednesday and Thursday. So I'm fasting. I'm trying to spend quality time with the Lord. Had a good time of prayer. And then I'm tired in the evening. And I sit down. I've got my Bible in one hand. And I look, and there's the TV controller. And I knew I wanted to be in God's Word. But I just clicked on the TV just to see. It'd only be 1 minute just to see what's on. And then they weren't in the jungle. They were in a, you know, I'm a celebrity, get me out of here, Anton Deck, it's all fun, it's silly, it's exciting, and suddenly an hour or more of my time has gone, and I'm thinking, wow, that wasn't the best use of my time on a day of prayer and fasting. And I'm not saying that's wrong, but I'm sharing that I'm not perfect in this. It's a battle, isn't it? It's a battle, but, and there's nothing wrong with Anton Deck, that's fine if we want to watch I'm a Celebrity, but it's finding balance, isn't it? And ensuring that if we're being distracted and all sorts of entertainment and media and all sorts of things that we can fill our lives with, let's make sure that most importantly, we are filling our lives with Scripture and our minds with Scripture. Many speak, I've spoken of reading the Bible and memorizing, and of course so many online sermons, there's fasting. People speak of retreats and prayer days and fasting from digital media. That's something we've introduced as a family, probably before we moved to the UK, back in the time in Moldova, having a Sunday digital fast. Now, it's a little bit different when you're watching online, because I wouldn't suggest this, otherwise you'll have to turn this off. But generally speaking, what we do is, no one in our family is on social media or on the internet at all. Sometimes they have homework to do. And we go all the way through until the evening. Then we have a Bible time, and then we sit and watch Bake Off or something in the evening. But the point is, we're trying, and we're not the best at it. But we're recognising that there's so many things we can fill our minds with, and we need to be careful. Paul says to the Colossians, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. What are we consuming in large quantities? What are we filling our minds with? What we do consume, what we fill our minds with, will change how we think and how we act. And again, I repeat the statement from the beginning. What is on our minds changes everything that matters. So we're coming to the end. You're still with me. Let's just finish this off together. We've talked about some of those practical spiritual disciplines. And there's some great stuff written about the spiritual disciplines, and just encourage you to Google and search. How can we ensure that we're filling our minds with things of the Lord? Now, you know, we might know the verse in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, where Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loves me and gave his life for me. If I feel, if we're listening to this sermon, this talk, thinking, but I don't feel like I have the mind of Christ, I'm struggling in this area, I guess I'll turn to this scripture in Galatians and say, have I then truly crucified, allowed myself to be crucified with Christ? Have I gone to the cross? Have I surrendered my life fully to him? Have I said, Lord, I want you to fill my life. I want to take every thought captive. I don't want to give the devil a foothold in my life. We need to be careful. Consider carefully what we are consuming, what we fill our lives with. I think we need to pray, Lord, help me to allow you to have the central place, the right place, your rightful place in my life. I'm not going to fill my life with loads of stuff, so much stuff that you don't have place or space to work. I'm not going to be mastered by digital media and entertainment and distractions. I'm not even going to allow food or sports to have central place in my mind. I want you, Lord, to live in me. I want to live the life that you want and intend for me to live. I want to experience all that you have for me. I choose to turn my back on my old life. I choose to be crucified with Christ, to die with him so that I will rise with him. I choose to turn my back on many of the things that the world has to offer, because I know, I believe that God has a better plan for me. And I finish with a final verse. This is a great one. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 30. Listen to an older translation. It says this, therefore gird up your loins. Gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now that sounds really strange, doesn't it? Gird up your loins. What on earth does that mean? Well, as I've looked at this, and that's the literal translation, gird up your loins. Of course, folks in those days used to wear these long dress-like things. The idea was, in order to run and to get somewhere quickly, they'd have to kind of gird up their loins, hold their dress-like thing up, and then they could run, then they could move quickly. So when we read, gird up your loins, what others translate that as, therefore, may your minds be alert and fully sober. Someone else says, prepare your minds for action and exercise self-control. Another translation, have your minds ready for action. Keep alert. Be alert and think straight. And then I like this translation. Roll up your sleeves, put your mind in gear. That is what Peter is saying to the believers. Roll up your sleeves, put your mind in gear. Friends, I'll finish with this. We have the mind of Christ. Let's embrace this truth and let's live the life that God has truly called us to live. God bless you. Amen.